Welcome to The Light of the World, and this is Jared G. Martin. We have just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. That is the time that Jesus Christ bought our redemption with his own blood. Well, today we're going to share a message with you about the importance of the redemption. No matter who you are, no matter what your past has been, no matter what you've gone through or what you've done, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and brings us into his own righteousness. Listen to this message today and stay tuned at the end, and we'll let you know how you can listen to it in its entirety. But right now, come and go with us as we continue to walk in the light of God's Word. Redemption is a term that describes one of the essential features of salvation. We don't talk about redemption a lot. It deals specifically with the cost of salvation and the means by which God received the payment. It is the cost and the payment. Because all people are helpless, and all people are slaves to sin and condemned by the law, if we are to be forgiven and reconciled to God, he has to purchase us back from our condition. That's what redemption is. He got to buy us back. Only then can he release us from sin's bondage and sin's curse. He's got to buy us back. In this passage I read, redemption is the key word. The term means to purchase, release by paying a ransom, or to deliver by the payment of a price. Somebody has to pay for your sin. Somebody gonna pay. God said, no, you gonna pay. You know, when God came to Adam in the garden after he sinned, Adam could say, well, I misunderstood what you said. No, that's no excuse. Well, I didn't know you didn't mean that tree. No, you're going to pay, dude. You heard me. And then Adam said, it was that woman you gave me. He's going to try to blame it on God. That woman you gave me. And that woman said, no, it was a snake. Everybody had an excuse except the snake. He didn't have a leg to stand on. The word also, redemption, is a technical term for paying money to buy back a prisoner of war. It's a technical term. So Peter's imagery describing redemption pointed back to the origin of the Passover in the Old Testament. He looked at that, and we talked about that on Good Friday, the Passover. If you were watching, maybe some of you saw last evening, they were showing the Ten Commandments with the big blockbuster movie back in the 50s. And it's still very captivating if you watch it. And I thought, why are they showing the Ten Commandments on Easter? And then I thought, it's the story of the deliverance from Egypt, if you watch it. Actually, it is the story of the Passover, and this week is Passover week for the Jews. Jesus was slain on Passover week. That's why they're showing the Ten Commandments. It's the Jewish Passover. God told the Israelites in that story in Egypt, they were in bondage. They'd been there for 400 years. And they couldn't get free on their own. Pharaoh had them locked down and he had them enslaved. And God says, I'm going to deliver my people. And Pharaoh kept saying, you ain't going to get them. God said, I'm going to get them. No, you ain't going to get them. I'm going to get them. No, you got to come through me, Pharaoh said. I ain't letting you folks go. They belong to me. God said, you just don't know. And he began to send plagues. And Pharaoh says, I don't care nothing about no plagues. I don't care nothing about the frogs. I don't care nothing about the gnats. I don't care anything about the water turning the blood. I don't care about all of that stuff. You ain't getting these people. God says, I'm going to get them. I'm going to send a death angel, and he's going to take every firstborn in Egypt. going to take your folks. I go right to where what's important to you. I'm going to take your children. Not only am I going to take the firstborn of your household, I'm going to take the firstborn of your animals. I'm going to get every firstborn. That belong. I'll show you who's running things. That's what God said. You think you're running things? I can show you who's running things. And the problem was that in Egypt was not only the Egyptian, but it was God's people. And God said, Moses, I tell you what, you tell my people to take a lamb and take that lamb. Now find a lamb that is unblemished. Don't bring me no crippled lamb. Don't give me no diseased lamb. Don't give me a lamb with one eye and all this stuff like that. Get the best they've got. Get an unblemished lamb and slaughter him. Take his blood and take that blood and put it over the doorpost and the lintel of their houses. Tell them to do that. And I'm going to send the destroyer through to kill the firstborn. But if they have that blood over their doors, I will pass over them. Moses says, okay, everybody, this is what God says. Put this over your doorpost of your house and then get in the house. Because death and destruction is coming. Now, that just may be a good story to you, but that is a picture of how God functions and God's judgment. God said, there's going to be some shedding of some blood. You take that lamb, and they sacrificed those lambs, and they put that blood over there, and everybody in the house was passed over and saved. Didn't matter who you were, didn't matter where you came from, didn't matter whether you were a slave or free or a man or a woman. God says, as long as you're in the house, my blood, and with my blood over you, I will save you. The Israelites, they're probably like us, you know, they had some of them from Fifth Ward talking about, well, I got to stay in the house. And everybody trying to tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. Well, just go on outside then. People will do that today. Why are you going to tell me that I got to live my life this way? Why are you going to tell me that I can't do this, I can't do that? I got to just do what God says. I got my own way of doing things. Well, go on outside. You want to do that? Go on outside. I ain't trying to make you live right. I'm just trying to tell you what living right will get for you. That's up to you. You can be mad all you want to, but that destroyer is coming. The Bible said at midnight, the death angel came through and he was looking for one thing only. Is there any blood over that house? If there's blood over it, let me keep going. That's cover. If it's not, go in there and take the firstborn out of that family. And the Bible says there was weeping and wailing all through the night because those who had no blood, they were not covered. And that became a type and a picture of Jesus Christ's blood covering those who would accept it. The Passover became the symbol of the substitutionary redemption. God decreed that Israel will annually celebrate the Passover to remind the nation of his powerful deliverance of her from Egypt. They've been doing that for 3,500 years, celebrating the Passover because he passed over them. The Passover would also point the people toward the true Lamb who would one day die and rise again as the perfect and final substitutionary sacrifice to redeem the sinner. See what God is saying, when you were in Egypt, that poor lamb didn't have anything to do with your sin and the condition you was in, and that was a substitute. He gave his life and his blood so that it could cover your house, and Jesus Christ is going to do the same. This passage explained that redemption for us by answering a couple of questions. Number one, what did God redeem us from? And secondly, what did God redeem us with? In our text in verse 18, he says, you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. The scripture makes it clear that all believers were once in bondage to sin. All believers, every person. Romans 6 says in verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. He said in verse 17 of Romans 6, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Here's what God is saying in that passage. Every person is going to be under the control of either demonic, satanic force or of evil. You're going to be a slave to sin, or you're going to be a slave to righteousness. But you don't belong to yourself. You just think you do. You can say it all you want to. This is my life, and I can live it like I want to. Well, I'm here to tell you it ain't your life. If it was yours, you can keep it. But there's people dying every day, and they didn't want to. They wasn't trying to. But you can't hold on to it. You can try to hold on to it as long as you want to, but you got to give it up. If you don't move out voluntarily, you're going to get told off. You are in a no parking zone. You can go to some places in the park, they say you got 2 hours. You ever seen those? You got a meter. When those 2 hours is up, if you're still there, you're going to get told off. And God says in his word that with one day with God is like 1,000 years with the man. Well, one day with God is like 1,000 years with man. I did the math on that. That means that 1 hour is 42 years. 1 hour with God is 42 man years. So you got about 2 hours. To park here, that'd be 84 years, if you make it that long. And some of you, are the first hour is already up and the clock is ticking. The problem is we act like we ain't going nowhere. We live like we're not going anywhere. We live like we're going to be here forever. You're not. You are on death row. He said, you're either going to be a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. As I was reading that, this is what I'm thinking. We were slaves to sin, and we did a good job as sinners. We did a good job as sinners. I mean, some of us was off the chain, they say, when it come to sinners. I mean, we was way out there. But we were all did a good job. We were good liars, good thieves, good fornicators, good drunkards. Oh, man, we could party. Y'all act like y'all didn't do that. I mean, huh? You! Be like, it got quiet, like, no, all of us was like that.
This is Pastor Jerry G. Martin, and every year this time, our focus turned to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the good news. The bad news is it seems like we only wait until this time of the year to really focus on what Jesus Christ did for us. For every believer, every day, we should be thankful to the Lord that he gave his life for us so that we do not have to perish, but we can live an abundant life and we can escape the fires of hell and spend eternity with God in heaven. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. What is he going to save us from? Eternal damnation and hell fire. Those of you who are listening to me right now, you may be at church, but you may not be in church. That means that you're just going through the motions. You're just attending, but you're not connected with God. This is the season to remind us of why Jesus Christ came in the first place, and he came to save a lost and dying world. You can make that decision even now to give your life to Jesus Christ. I give you this opportunity to be my guest at the Light of the World. We meet each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 16161 Old Humble Road. You can meet Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you can join with the family of believers that will help you to grow and fulfill God's will and purpose in your life. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous broadcasts, go to our new website at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. Now for the Light of the World, this is Pastor Jerry G. Martin saying, May the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.